was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Today we're bringing you podcast number 71 from the home of the 2003 County Champions, Two Johnnies HQ in Care, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we're debating the age-old question, can men and women be just friends?
He's had more red cards than Smacks has had spray tans. Noel Furlong will be in the house dishing out the weekly news.
She's like a bad dog. She keeps coming back for more. Lauren is patiently waiting to unleash her mystery topic this week.
And I'm off to stare at the wall because Smacks is here to talk all kinds of tripe with his Love Island review.
And we finished the podcast with our weekly segment that's as traditional as a hangover on a Sunday. It is, of course, Yurt and Dirt. Don't forget, if you're a new listener, make sure you go back to the start and listen from there. It's available on Acast, Apple and Spotify, and also check us out on twojohnnies.ie for more content and tour dates. Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we got a few snaps in this week, totally out of the blue. We've been appearing on people's dating profile pictures. This has been going on for a while and we had to bring it to your attention. So Stuart messaged us to say, fair play boys, you made it to someone's Bumble picture. Not just Tinder, Johnny.
Yeah, we're spreading our wings, lad, across all online dating platforms.
And in the picture, Smacks is in the middle, then there's her, then there's me, and then two of us are in tuxedos and Smacks is in a lovely red dress. No, the lady in the middle is in a lovely red dress, but it's a bold move putting us in your Bumble profile picture. Like, yeah. What if the guy swiping didn't know the two Johnnies?
He'd be like, she's into threesomes.
And looking for more. God damn. Actually, look, if he didn't know us, he's probably not her type.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, on Tinder, a girl called Alana, and she's 19, and she has the following in her bio. A quote, "Will marry anyone that's remotely similar to the two Johnnies." Oh. She also has "When I Play for the County" as her anthem on her profile. Alana, you know, you need to look further afield. Someone anyway similar to us. Fucking avoid them.
Yeah, join Mokra, sort it out. We were talking about growing up and how it's different now compared to when we were kids a couple of podcasts ago. And Brian from Kildare says, one for you. So it was a lovely summer's day and myself and the cousin were out in the garden playing headers and volleys. And my aunt was slagging me for missing a chance. And I said, come on to fuck, so you come out and play with us. So out she came and she was playing away, messing around, and went to let her the ball and tore her hamstring off the bone. 2 years later, two surgeries later, her hamstring is still fucked. Next time she won't slag me for missing a chance. I asked him, what age is she? He said she's 53. And she's not playing anymore, bitch.
He's a bad man, lads. How tight were her hamstrings to, like, try and kick the ball once and snap it off the bone? How immobile was she? Like, Jesus Christ.
The pain she must have been in. Oh my God.
Adam Snapchat us, hey boys, you won't believe this. Myself and a friend got kicked out of the US Open in California on Saturday. We were following Shane Lowry around the course and my friend, who's a diehard Offaly fan, had his head in the phone the whole time watching the highlights from Offaly versus Kerry in the Joe McDonagh Cup. Anyway, the full-time whistle went just as Shane Lowry was stepping up to take a drive. Everyone around us was so quiet, my friend takes his headphone out of his ear and without even looking up roars, ah, fuck it, Shane. The boys are after making a fucking balls of it again. Safe to say, those American guards with their fancy fucking guns weren't long escorting us out of the place. Christ, you can't bait us Irish.
What did Lowry say?
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to know.
All right, cheers. So a dizzy message just to say, well, lads, when I was younger in Talla, there was a huge field that was overgrown where the council land was and they had a stream running through it along the side of it. It was full of hillocks and branches and bushes. This is about things we did when we were kids and how it's different to now. He said, we used to play a game called IRA. This involved two teams. One was the IRA and the other was the English. The English team had a code word and every member of the team had a letter. The idea was for the IRA team to catch them, bait the bollocks out of them until they told them their letter. Oh, the good days. The field is gone now, and it's now a park and part of Talla Stadium. Well, I'd say what goes on in Talla Stadium, there's still lads getting hidings for letter. And he said, P.S., that game of throwing the ball, they called it curbs. Or they called it paths, not curbs. They said the posh estate next to them called it curbs. It's curbs, lad.
It's curbs, lad. Pats. Do you want to get my pats? Doesn't make any sense.
Come on, I know you're in Tala, but like, come on. He wouldn't be allowed to play a game like that now.
No, definitely not. That's not correct. We don't condone that either here on the Two Johnnies podcast. Yeah,
8-year-olds giving each other punishment beatings in the field. Like, cut it out, lads. Cut it out.
Okay, a man by the name of Will contact.
Contracting us in, bye. Big job on.
A man by the name of Will contacted us to say, you were talking about how things have changed since you were growing up back in the 90s and how parents basically didn't give two shites about where you were for most of the day. My example of that is hitchhiking. I used to get a bus to secondary school. The bus was made up of lads going to the Christian Brothers and girls going to the girls' school. No bother there, except on the days when there was a parent-teacher meeting on. We would get a half day, but the girls' school would still be in until 4. So you could either hang around the town for 4 hours or try to get back home. So we tried to hitchhike away home. Looking back now, it probably wasn't the safest thing to do. When I told my wife about it, she was horrified, but most of the time it was grand. You'd meet the odd character though. For instance, me and a mate once got picked up by an owl lad who had his dog with him in the front seat of the van. Instead of sticking the dog in the back so that we could sit in the actual seat, he made us sit in the back of the van because, sure, the dog was shit all over the place. Fair play though, he dropped us all the way home. Hitchhiking.
Yeah, I often did it.
Yeah, I can't. When you told me you hitchhiked to work, I thought, I can't believe, you know, you worked in the 60s in Ireland.
When I started my apprenticeship, I had no car. So I had to hitchhike to work every day for a good while. Then I got a little Corsa.
The one thing I can't believe from that is, why didn't you just text someone and be like, hey, is there anyone going to Cashel 5 days a week?
On and off, like, I'd have organised lifts. But then often I'd have to come home from anywhere as well.
You just enjoy playing the game, lads.
Spin the wheel, lads. Roulette. You meet some characters. There was one lad one time, he was coming, he picked me up in Cashel, and he was like, I need to get to Clonmel. I'm totally lost. I was like, yeah, I know the way. So I brought him out via care.
Added a good 15 minutes on his journey.
Yeah, but he dropped me home. So, now, Lauren, following on from your mystery topic last week, a listener in Limerick who wants to remain anonymous has said, Lauren's mystery topic about breastfeeding and allowing TDs to breastfeed in the doll, and you were wondering how long mothers breastfeed for. Well, I work in childcare and I can tell you we regularly see mothers breastfeeding their children until they are a year old. Some even continue to breastfeed their child until they are 18 months. Personally, I think once the child has teeth, then they should come off the boob. But I suppose it's a personal decision for each mother. And a lot of mothers struggle to stop breastfeeding as they do not want to lose that bond they have with their baby. Some mothers feel that once they have stopped breastfeeding that their child doesn't need them as much anymore. Aww. Also, on a different note, I completely agree with Johnny B regarding French air traffic controllers. They are a shower of wankers. Well, I don't know, are they? But they're always on strike. That is tough going about breastfeeding. Neither Smacks or I have ever breastfed. Yeah. So Lauren?
No, not yet.
No, we don't know.
No.
It's great where she says, you know, they feel like they're no use to their child anymore. Like, child's covered in shit. You know, you still got stuff to do. You know what I mean?
I love how the tone of that message changed so quickly as well.
Yeah. French controllers.
Yeah, our mothers are still looking after us. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Another anonymous one here about the same topic. So about a year ago, my granduncle passed away and my aunt was just after having a baby the previous month before. She was sitting in the second seat back from the top of the church behind my granduncle's son and behind my grandmother, who is the granduncle's sister. Fucking hell, the Adams family. As the mass was going on, my other aunt sitting beside my father noticed that she was breastfeeding in the middle of the mass. My father pointed out to me and he thought it was disrespectful to 1, be even breastfeeding in a church, and 2, to be doing it behind the granduncle's son's back. They never confronted her about it, as they don't get on with her.
Just before we went on air, I threw it up on the Instagram to take a poll. Breastfeeding at a funeral. Yeah, baps out or no, lad? And it is currently 66% of the votes are saying no, lad. And 34% are saying yes. And we just showed up when we started. There's been about 3,000 votes. Wow. And I can't believe that. Do you know what's gas, right? The votes are, like, really against it. But we've had about 15 messages of people here saying, of course women should be allowed to breastfeed.
But, like, if it was a mother with a bottle, what would you have the same?
Yeah, but it's in mass. Surely God would prefer a tit to a bottle.
Well, it's more natural, so yeah.
I don't think he'd give a shite.
Oh, I think God would want things done naturally.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't see a problem with it.
No.
Like, if it keeps the child quiet, sure, isn't everyone happy?
That's the most important thing.
get the child to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, everyone hates that child.
Oh, was that a christening last week, lad? Man. There was kids running around the church like it was fucking 40-40. Like, we're having a game of 40-40.
Yeah.
The priest was saying mass and they were up. They were half hanging out of tabernacle, the whole lot, lad. I tell you. Control your kids in the house of God.
Yeah.
And that's from someone who doesn't give a shit about it.
An old side boob would be the least your worry. Yeah, so I don't know. For me, I don't have a problem. If it was someone in my family's funeral and like somebody felt they had to breastfeed, grand. Johnny?
Yeah, I'll feed away, lads. You know.
We'll work away.
Yeah, sucks.
On the topic of protests, the farmers were in contact. All of them.
Yeah. Farmer in Ireland.
We kept getting sent this photo. It's like a banner that was going around social media. If you spend 10 euro on beef today in the shop, you walk in the shop, spend 10 euro, the retailer gets 5 euro and 10 cent for 3 days' work. The processor, that's the meat factory, gets 2.90 euro for 3 days' work. And the farmer gets 2 euro for 2 years' work. Please support your local farmer to get a better beef price. Because if you spend 10 euro, the farmer's only getting 2 of it.
Yeah,
that's what they were protesting about.
That's what the big drive to the Dáil was all about with the tractors now. So on the farmers' bite, my Jesus, more power to you. James Buckley was on to us. Well, lads, just listening to the podcast there, and in relation to Smacks wearing glasses, I've only been wearing glasses since November and only wearing contacts since January. Since then, my GA has improved massively. It used to take me about half an hour to put them in, but now I could do it in about 2 minutes. Yeah, my GA can't get much better, man, even if I wear glasses. Our school also did a protest a while back, and everyone just walked out of the school to go protest. But most lads just went home, and there was about 50 people protesting from a school that has 900 students. Photos went up on Facebook, and the teachers found out how many actually were protesting, and they went mad, but it was worth it. That was just on protest there as well.
And Jack Murphy says, was listening to your podcast about Irish people protesting, and I have a ridiculous story about protesting. I'm from Mallow, and we were playing an under-12 football blitz down in Glanmire in County Cork, Saturday morning. Bottles of Cadet and packets of crisps galore, the good old days. Anyway, our team got into the blitz final against Douglas by coming joint second with a better points difference to Glanmire, who were hosting the blitz. So the coaches of the Glanmire team went ballistic and got all the young fellas to protest us getting to the final by walking over and sitting in the two goal mounts before throwing. There was uproar on the sidelines with grown men fucking each other out of it over an under-12 football blitz. My father was training us, and when it was clear the boys weren't going to move from the goal mounts, he walked over to the Douglas coach and organised a challenge game between the two of us for the following week instead. One of my friends from college is from Douglas, and we still get a right laugh over how pathetic and ridiculous it was to protest at the final of an under-12 football blitz.
That's Cork for you, man. They love a good protest.
That's Cork.
Especially in GAA. That's crazy. An under-12 football blitz. Hey, you know, some fellas taking more serious than others. Now, some more Samba soccer related correspondence, right? Kate had this classic. Well, men, since your first mention of the Samba soccer camp, I've been meaning to get in touch. I actually coached at these camps one summer. I got a call on a Friday evening asking me to do some coaching on the Monday. So I appeared in on the Monday, got the youngest group handy out, show up Tuesday morning and no sign of the head coach. My phone rings. Hi, this is whoever. The lad who was the head coach won't be back. Will you take charge? So I just went along with it. Sure, it was more money and no actual coaching. Saw out the week with no major blips. Then it came to getting paid. And sure, I didn't know what they were going to do. They lodge all the money for all the coaches in my bank account, and I had to dish it out accordingly. The biggest shambles I've ever been involved in, and I've coached with the FAI.
Mm.
Came to an end, and I called the guy asking when he was going to collect everything. The response was, you're grand, we don't need it. Bags and bags of cones, bibs, balls, poles, like my parents' garage was invaded. Few local clubs benefited from the equipment eventually. That's 14-ish years ago, and given that my parents' garage harbours all sorts, I went digging. I could nearly run a feature of old crap the two Johnnies might like.
Yeah.
Well, more so Smacks, I think. Like an Aladdin's cave of 90s and noughties soccer crap. And she also Snapchat me during the week a picture of the Dream Team jersey.
Yeah, I seen it.
Oh, I need to get my hands on one of them.
From the TV show.
Those Samba soccer lads, some gangsters.
Yeah, cowboys.
Absolute cowboys.
There was nothing Brazilian about that.
Any more info on Samba soccer, send it in. Yes. This is going on for ages now.
It's like an RTE investigates. Yeah. The two Johnnies investigate.
Samba soccer.
Another set of crazy soccer team names is here. A man from Roscommon says his brother was working in the UK as a midwife. To help staff morale, etc., the head of the department felt it would be a good idea to have a five-a-side soccer tournament. Cue the weird, wacky and quite disturbing team names of the midwife's teams for five-a-side soccer. Vulva Villa, Uterus United, Placenta Palace, Waters Breaking Wanderers, Afterbirth Athletic.
And he finishes by saying Honda Rossi.
Honda Ross coming for Sam.
They're filled now. Vulva Villa.
Couldn't be shouting for them.
No, you couldn't be shouting them on the silent. And lastly, Simon Finn emailed us on podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie about our places to visit in Ireland. And that was from a few weeks back. And he says, Letterfrack is some spot. Ballin and Bracky is also good. There was reported sightings of a kangaroo here. Look it up on YouTube. I'm not messing. RTE News came as well to report on it. And that's from Simon Finn. There was a kangaroo spotted in Ballin and Bracky. And that's in Sligo, is it?
You know,
fucking knows?
Dark side of the moon. These lads are Ballin and Bracky, the fucking home of Irish acid, I'd say, thinking they're spotting kangaroos walking around the town. Okay, so the Noel's News mug, kindly sponsored by hairybaby.com, where you can buy loads of beautiful merchandise, most of it to Johnny's, but other stuff is available too. Lads, who do you like for the mug this week for the best correspondence? I like the boys who got thrown out of the US Open.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I hope you're back from California, because it ain't going across the Atlantic.
1299, boys. Come on.
Now, what have we been up to this week? The Two Johnny's Weekly Roundup. A huge moment in our lives. Johnny Smacks, what did you get this week?
This week, I picked up our tickets for Westlife. And not just any tickets. We got a suite.
We got a corporate box for Westlife.
Now, we didn't get given it. We saved up our hard-earned money and we bought it.
Oh, so I'm coming.
No. It's not a podcast thing. It's more of a Two Johnny's thing. It's not a podcast thing.
That's fine. Okay. I'm out of here.
If we do a podcast box, you're definitely in the running.
I talked you into it.
Yeah, so Smacks was just going ahead with this. And now that it's a week out, I am also caving and I'm going to go.
It's going to be class, lad.
It's going to be some crack.
It's going to be some crack. Yeah. There's a free bar. You know, come on.
Sure, look.
We'll have a good blast at it.
First time I was in premium in Dublin, I think, was like Dublin bet the Westmeath footballers by about 9 million points. So this should be better than that. Anyway.
Should be a bit more entertaining than
that. So we will let you know how that goes. You can follow us on Instagram, The Two Johnnies, and we will be Instagramming live from our own suite.
Oh shit,
I can't believe it.
Man, we have better tickets than like lads in Westlife.
Where is it though in the stadium?
Oh, it's not bad.
It's just past the halfway line towards the hill. So it's pretty good.
Oh, that is
where
great.
The stage is. Yeah. So yeah, have a look out for us, boy. We'll be there. We got a little world of our own.
The next question is, do we wear suits?
Nah,
I don't really want to.
I'm wearing a vest. A Westlife vest. I love Nicky on the front of it.
Okay.
Speaking of tickets, the hunt is on. Munster final tickets.
Yeah, see, you can get terrace tickets, but lads, Limerick only has one covered stand, and Limerick is prone to rain. I don't know if you've seen Angela's Ashes, but it flogged rain, and I've been caught in that uncovered stand in Limerick before, and it is the coldest. I'm telling you, fucking Ernest Shackleton wouldn't watch a Munster final in that uncovered stand.
I find in Limerick, it's one or the other. I remember being in that uncovered stand once and getting lashed out with rain. And then I remember getting absolutely toasted with sunburn another time. So it's one. So
if anyone out there has four tickets together for the covered stand for the Munster final in between the two, either the 65s.
Yeah, either the 65s is fine. Yeah, we've asked our club and our secretary has given us the normal response, which is, see what I can do.
Sure, a lot of lads looking for him. I can't promise yet now, but sure, I can ask for him anyway. So
we'll find out probably 10 minutes before throwing if we've got the tickets. But people are going crazy down here over it. See, the problem is people have been buying them all up along on tickets.ie or in your local Supervalue Centre, etc. And now they're all going back to the clubs. So I think the ticketing system needs to be kind of sorted out, as in, do you get them all the time off the clubs, which is fair enough, we always get them off the clubs then, and we know where we stand, or do you get them
Well, it's hard for your club secretary to reward people now.
Yeah.
So we've been going to all the games, but we haven't been buying them off the club. We just go into Super Value because it's quicker.
Yeah.
So don't want to be annoying him. Like.
They stopped selling them to the club stuff for the round robin because there was too many matches. There'd be an awful lot of admin work in that.
Too quick, yeah. Yeah, but hardly any of the round robin games are going to sell out.
Mm.
Yeah, very rare. But yeah, the tickets on. Speaking of championship, we lost our hurling championship match as well, John, this week.
Yeah, and myself and Smacks were playing for Clare, and we lost. We were just shite.
I was fair angry after it.
Mm.
I literally drove straight from Ballyluby to Cashel. I went to McDonald's. Yeah, by myself. Just sat in the car and just thought, like, fucking where do we go from here?
It was disappointing. Awful day for hurling.
But pissed rain, yeah. Could barely poke the ball out, lad. It was that heartbreaking.
Speaking of McDonald's, actually, I was telling you, I contacted McDonald's about the what are they doing with their plastic straws. I'm not really overly impressed with their response. Reflecting the broader public debate, our customers told us they wanted to see a move on straws. We are proud to be doing the right thing in rolling out paper straws across our Irish restaurants and will continue to invest in making our business as environmentally sustainable as possible. Paper straws are just one step on that journey. So McDonald's, I have to say, you still haven't answered my fucking question, which is, are the plastic straws not recyclable? Like, isn't plastic recyclable?
Tell me this, and this is something now. I had it out last night with a fella.
Well, a fella?
Yeah, one of my friends. I went up to his house and we were watching Love Island. And we went for a milkshake.
Okay.
Paper straws.
Yeah.
McDonald's, right? He said to me, this is stupid, paper straws. I said, lad, I agree with you. He wasn't listening to the podcast. He hadn't heard my rant on him. And he said, butcher, why do you have paper straws? The top of the drink is plastic.
Yeah.
The plastic thing on it.
That's as much plastic as a straw would be.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
It's like you're changing one thing. What about all the other million things?
Yeah, 100%. Like, surely there's something else that would benefit more, you know, in recyclable terms than straws. What about the half a bag of fucking napkins they put in?
They'd be biodegradable.
Right. Fucking
hell. Most of their packaging is, if you buy a burger, it's in a box, it's a cardboard box.
Yeah.
A lot of places now, if they give you a fork, it's not a plastic fork. It's kind of one of those hard...
woody ones. Yeah.
But it's true, the lid of your drink is also plastic.
Like, you know, if they were going to say, right, we're getting paper straws, we're also getting a paper kind of top on your...
We're going completely plastic free.
Yeah, but they're not. They just got rid of straws.
I think they'll get there.
And if you think it's bad enough drinking a bit Coke Zero out through a paper straw, try a milkshake, lad. You're sucking the fucking life out, whole straw caves in.
Go away.
Don't even go there with me. I'm done with that now.
Right, anyway.
You haven't been bad form now. I'm not fucking...
By the time you've heard this, we'll have done C sessions in Donegal and we'll give you all the update on that next week. Now, you know, we did the video, Noel interviewed Donald Trump and somebody from the American Embassy in Ireland contacted me to say that they had forwarded it to Trump's personal staff and that they'd be in contact. And I said, am I going to get a call from the CIA? and he said... As Donald Trump would say, we'll see what happens.
No.
Yeah. Are we under investigation?
I know, but Donald Trump says that. We'll see what happens. So that's what he said to me. Am I in trouble? Well, as Donald Trump would say, we'll see what happens.
So shit. They're definitely listening to this right now. Okay, we're going to leave you there.
and God bless America.
Yeah, we love America. We're also our bunker to hide.
Also, sort out those visas for us, yeah.
Okay, topic number one. All right, so Love Island has come in handy this week for something, as the question was raised, can men and women be friends with the opposite sex, or is there always a sinister motive? A poll was taken on the Love Island after show, son, and it showed only 3 members from the 100 members in the audience believed men and women can't be friends. Can they? Can they be friends?
Well, this poll, I have to argue that most people put their hand up saying, of course they can be friends. I think they're only doing that because they're on TV.
Yeah.
I think now that I'm on TV, I'm going to say yes. But if you'd asked me at 11:30 down Ryan's, I'd say fuck no.
Yeah. No, I think the thing is to remember from this poll is that they were putting their hands up in front of other people and the peer pressure would probably kill you. And like, Are people afraid to say this because it's the 21st century and it, you know, you can't be seen to be like old fashioned or archaic? The pressure is on to be like, oh, we're cool with everything. Like, you know, yeah, that's liberal, man.
I bet a load of people in the audience were single.
Yeah.
And it's two of us are here and like there's a load of young ones around and it's like, can guys and girls be friends? And they put their hands up.
Yeah.
Should we throw the hand up anyway? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Wanna impress them. Can they be friends though, or is there always going to be that bit of temptation to be friends between girls? Like, I don't have many friends that are girls. I would probably say Lauren, yourself, Maura, maybe a couple of others. But like, you know, I'd find it hard to be friends with someone who I'd be attracted to. Sorry, Lauren.
Thanks a million.
sorry, Lauren. No, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're grand girl, you know.
Lovely personality.
Well, no, it said no.
Lovely personality.
Oh, this is awkward viewing or listening.
There is the big question. Does it make a difference if that person is a lasher?
Yes, 100%.
100%.
Do you know
why it's a problem, though? Because if you're friends with them, you like the personality. And then if they're good looking as well, sure, yeah, like that's the perfect
you
combination.
You like the rack.
They're ticking two of your boxes straight away.
There's probably no more boxes to tick, is there?
Personality and looks.
Yeah, isn't that the perfect combination?
There's more to it than that, Lauren.
There's boxes out there.
There's boxes to be ticked. You wouldn't even know.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know you're ticking
them. Taking them.
So it does make a difference if they're a lasher.
Definitely, because like as much as you're friends with them, if you think they're a lasher, then there's a bit of cut.
Yeah,
bit of spice.
I think if your other half says, "Oh, you know, this is my friend Damien," and like Damien, God help him, you know, is a bit of a gremlin.
Yeah,
you're probably like, "Oh, that's grand." And then if you're like, "Oh, this is my friend Damien. He's 6'2". He's pure sallow, and he's ripped to death, and all the women love him." I'd be going, "Oh, fuck! You can't be friends with him." Genuinely, I think you would like. I don't know. I'm paranoid about most aspects of my life anyway. So this would be no different.
Well, is it normal then for a boyfriend and girlfriend to get jealous?
I would say, yeah, 100%. I'd be, I'm not saying I'm a jealous psychopath here, but like, if they're good looking, yeah, there would be paranoia. I would say most women out there, anybody listening to this, and most women in Ireland would say, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind, but secretly they really would.
Would it make much of a difference if she was friends with him before you got together, or if it was a new thing? So if they're friends since they were children.
Yeah.
Is that a bit different?
That'd be less, yeah.
That'd be definitely less.
A new thing, you'd be like, am I not enough? Do you know what I mean? Hey, I've just brought this guy I met in the gym back for tea. He's really friendly. And has massive arms.
And then are you instantly hating him because you're like, he has intentions.
Oh, I'd slap the fucking jaw off.
I will eat his heart with the fork.
I think 100%, Johnny, like what? Like, there's nobody listening to this podcast if their other half brings a fella back from the gym and just says, this is Peter from the gym.
Me new mate.
You'd be going off your head. Like, I'd be like, oh yeah, no matter how are you, lad? And then I'd be like, can I have a word with you there? So, what the fuck? You don't bring him back to the gaff. Do you know what I mean? I would 100%. Just to add a bit more to that. Let's say you're going out with someone and they're like, oh, I'm still friends with my ex. And we meet up for coffee and, you know, we just get on well. But we're just friends. There's nothing else going on. I don't like him anymore.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there and say, I don't know, does that happen anyone who doesn't have kids?
It happened me. I'm very good friends with my ex.
Are you actually?
Yeah, we get on great. I honestly can't understand that we were ever in anything more than a friendship.
But what about when you were in a relationship? Like, you know, you obviously fancied each other. There was an attraction.
Yeah,
you
know. But now, God, ring him and I'm like, so I'm talking to this lad, like, how do I approach it? And he's giving me loads of advice. It's great because he's in a good position.
He's at home then when he hangs up the phone, fucking bawling his eyes out.
I doubt that somehow.
And has he got a new missus?
Yeah.
And what does she think?
I don't know.
Oh, she's threatened, I tell you that now.
Well, he doesn't live in Ireland anymore, so like, it's fine.
Lauren, he doesn't live in Ireland. So it's like,
But even when he did live in Ireland, it was grand. It's really ideal because I can ask all my girlfriends for as much advice as I want, but he actually knows me in a different light, I suppose.
Oh, fuck. I tell you. Nah, not for me. Not for me. Maybe, look, I'm probably coming across as really old-fashioned here, but if a missus said to me, oh, I'm still friends with my ex, and he'll call around to the house the odd time of that, I'd be like, he will need fuck.
Well, there was a current, and I don't think he appreciated it.
A what?
Well, there was someone that I would have been seeing then afterwards, and I don't think he overly appreciated that I was still friends with my ex.
And rightly so.
I thought you, when you said, like, there was a current, I thought you meant, like, a sultan. There was a scone. Oh, the new lad wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd find it a bit strange.
Yeah, well, he definitely did.
Hence why you're not together now. Yeah.
Might have been a factor.
It wouldn't be the end of the world, but like, be great.
No way, lad. No way. No way. Don't be trying to be liberal on this podcast now. Be such or not. You're telling me a bird says to you, I'm still friends with my ex. You're okay with that, are you?
Depends, lad.
No way, lad. You'd be on the phone. CIA be down there. Sorting it. No way. You wouldn't have that.
I knew a woman who was friends with her ex-husband, but they had kids, like. So yeah, they would see each other.
So it'd have to be amicable, yeah.
And then he had a new woman, a long-term woman. And then the two women became great friends because they'd be like dropping over kids and stuff. And they became the best of friends. And the ex-husband says to her one day, look, we're actually thinking of moving out of town. And she started crying. I was like, I can't believe you're leaving. And he was like, oh my God, like, I didn't know you still had feelings for me. And she was like, not you, you fucking idiot. Like, I've become best friends with your new girlfriend. Like,
that's weird.
I'd find that a bit weird, no?
Oh, like
as the man, like, you know, I'd be like, fuck, I hope she doesn't tell her about that time, you know?
I thought it seemed perfectly normal when I met them.
I think people who are older like that and have kids are obviously more mature and well able to manage that kind of dynamic, I suppose. Whereas, like, I'm talking here as, like, you know,
man in his 20s.
Yeah, man in his 20s, just about.
As Noel would say, you still have that. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so I think it's not acceptable, really, to be friends with your ex in certain situations. When else is it not acceptable? What, let's
to
say,
be friends with someone in the opposite sex?
Yeah, let's say, Lauren, you're going out with a fella.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's obviously going to be jealous you're hanging out with these two hunks.
Yeah.
let's say you're going out with a fella, and then you're friends with, say, one of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and him break up.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still friends with his friend.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's probably a bit awkward, yeah, on everyone's behalf.
That will fizzle out, I'd say.
Yeah.
That friendship will fizzle out.
But it's weird. You see, how often do you see it, like, a fella falls for his mate's missus, like?
Yeah, because... He knows her,
he gets to know her, he likes her personality, he knows she's good looking. Mm. I think that happens a lot more than people think.
Yeah, lads are often shy to talk to girls. And if, like, they see a girl who's going out with their mates, then she becomes one of the lads and it's so easy to talk to her because there's no threat of sex.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You probably relax, let the barriers down a bit quicker rather than you would with another bird. What's the difference between same-sex friendships and not, like, really? Like...
Well, it's like Lauren said there, getting advice.
Yeah.
You need a male friend.
I think so. It's
like, we love when you come in and tell us about your dates. Like, I'm only joking. But you know what I mean? If something happened to me in a relationship wise, it's great to have a female friend.
It is, to get that, like, mindset and just see how a girl would approach this situation.
Do you know, it's funny, man. Because Smax has talked me into it. I watch, like, one episode of Love Island a week now to kind of keep up with what's going on.
Loves it.
Right? And there was one the other day where one girl, in the Irish one, the Yawande.
Yeah.
Will Mayo win the Ireland?
Yeah, Wanda.
She basically was fucking things up with her the guy she was coupled with and didn't know it. And it wasn't until one of the guys who was in another solid enough couple was pulled her aside and said, look, from a man's point of view, you're making a mess of this. This is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And she did it. And it, whatever, might work out for her. So having a male friend, I was looking at the telly just screaming, oh my God, she needs a straight male friend to pull her aside and tell her what she's doing wrong.
Yeah. In my situation, anyway, I don't have many female friends, as I was saying. Like, you know, my close group of friends are all fellas, like. And that would be it. But like you were saying, Lauren, you're friends with a lot of fellas, like, and you wouldn't have a huge, you know,
Yeah, like I think even from a girl and boy perspective, I don't have a huge group of friends. Like I have my very, very close friends, and I have a couple of really close girlfriends, and then I have a couple of guy friends that are just, they're easy to hang out with. You just call over and have a cup of tea and catch up, and there's no, like, it doesn't matter when, if it's been 6 weeks or it's been 6 days when you last saw them. You just catch up, make a cup of tea, go home. You mightn't see them again for 6 weeks. And I have a couple of friends that are like that, and it's just easy. And I think you avoid drama with the guys. That's the main factor.
It's like a friendship booty call.
Kind of.
Yeah, it's like you're proper friends with the girls, and then it's like, I just need like a single serving dose of friendship. I just want to call in and get a quick bit of friendship there.
Do you reckon any of your male friends fancy you?
I don't think so.
Fucking 100%.
There's probably a few of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they would like to make themselves known.
What would you do?
So, no, hang on. Do you want to tell us which of your male friends do you fancy? Let's just speed this up. Let's just get it going.
What would you do if one of them said, look, I know we've been friends for a couple of years, but like, you know, let's get it on.
I don't know. Because you don't want to fuck up the friendship.
Do you think it'd be weird?
Yeah.
Could I suggest that if you're friends with somebody for ages, there's probably a reason why it hasn't happened.
But what happens if they had a girlfriend for the length of time that you were friends with them?
I think somewhere down, you know.
Yeah.
I think there has to be a bit of cut, bit of attraction, a bit of sexual chemistry, or whatever you want to call it, that you can't be friends with somebody for that long and it never enter your head. Like, oh my God, he was there all along and I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I must have had some idea. I come out with a fog. Like, you know what I mean? Oh my God, I never realised this girl was really, like, had a great personality and was a lasher. Like, I never realised it.
Yeah, we've been friends for 2 years.
Come on.
So come would on. You just lay it, what would you do? Lay it on the line, just say, look, it's like this. I like you, Rose.
I like you. Yeah, but that's, you know women, that's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the little I know about women. I remember I did it when I was younger now, I don't know, maybe 18 or 19 or something. Girl that I was friends with, and I thought that it was like, I thought it was always a bit of court about it.
Yeah.
And then
connection.
Small bit of sparks, connection. Yeah, connection. And then I said it to her one night, we're out, and she was like, oh, that's so sweet. And I was like, oh, shit. So I think, would you be better and just see, does it happen, like, you know, shift, like, or something?
I think there is definitely lads out there who are, like, in love with their friend, you know, their girlfriend, you know, and they lived their whole life in the friend zone. And I think, like, that's pointless.
Yeah.
Rather you go to them and say, look, yeah, I like you. I really like you. You know, do you think there's a chance of me and you? She says no. You say, grand, never talk to her again.
Yeah, fine.
It's way easier rather than living your whole life.
No, I think try it, because you never know what's going to happen.
I'd be saying to any lads out there, you know, try it.
But the flip side of that is, I have some great guy friends and I'm like, I wish I was attracted to you.
Okay. Yeah.
No, so you're like, different. I know you're a really good guy and I know you like treat a girl well. I'm like, I wish that spark was there.
But then sometimes, you know, it's not all about being a nice guy. Fella want to have a bit of cut about
A little bit. Not too much.
Bit of Danny Zuko, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Bit of fire. Yeah. That's what I'd be saying.
Now, this is funny because there was a study of undergraduate opposite sex friends. This took place in a college in America. 88 pairs, right? And somebody answers, the men were much more attracted to their female friends than vice versa. I'm going to say no surprise there.
Yeah.
No, no surprise.
And it was, men were also more likely than women to think that their opposite sex friends were attracted to them. A misguided belief.
I fully agree with that as well. Yeah, I would say you fellas are blind. They're convinced everybody likes.
Yeah, she fancies me.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
And men's estimates of how attractive they were to their female friends had virtually nothing to do with how these women actually felt, and almost everything to do with how the man themselves felt. So basically, the males assumed that any romantic attraction they experienced was mutual, and they were blind to the actual levels of romantic interest felt by their friends.
But that's just men in general. I think men are like, do you fancy me? No. And then they're like, yeah, you do. It's like, no, I don't. But you do a small bit, don't you? And it's like, no. She's only saying that now. Fellas are trust us, men, we are deluded as a tribe, I would say.
Yeah, because it says that females were generally not attracted to their male friends. They assumed this lack of attraction was mutual. Yeah, but we're going to call bullshit on this.
Yeah, that's, see, what it is there is, women won't say anyway. Women are very much more closed, I think, than men when it comes to something like this.
Yeah, by the study, women constantly underestimated the level of attraction felt by their male friends to them. Yeah. But that's just women.
That's women not trusting people.
Yeah.
So that's, we see here, their answers were kept confidential. So basically, this study was carried out. Men were brought into a room and someone said, look, tell us the truth and I promise you we're not going to tell anyone. And men went, grand, okay, so... And then the women came into the room and said, look, tell us the truth, we're not going to tell anyone. And they said, you'll definitely tell someone. Yeah. That's the difference. So they're keeping their cards
close. This was a scientific study, so I would imagine that wouldn't have happened.
Science and women don't matter.
Yeah.
Don't matter.
Science goes out the gap. When a woman comes into the room, science goes out the window.
Yeah.
Because you say to a woman, oh, do you think your male friend fancies you? And she's like, oh, no, probably not. Like, just trying to be...
Playing, you know, hard to get.
And being a bit humble, you know. But it's like, be real. Be honest with yourself. Like, some of your male friends probably do fancy you.
100%. Ladies. Social network Meet Me polled 6 and a...
I was just about to say, that absolutely proves this. Men overestimate.
No. Men are
You've just proved it.
No, that's...
You're saying this isn't true. These scientific results are not true. Women definitely like us. Their point proven, case closed, no, let's go home.
No. I'm not saying that the women like them back. I think women are not talking down the amount of men that... I think women secretly know that lads fancy them and they say, oh no, he doesn't fancy me.
Yeah. It's like, oh, your hair is lovely. And then they're like, oh no, it's not. I just threw it up, like, you know. And they're like, no, you spent 4 hours in the hairdresser getting it done.
Lauren is not happy.
No, I think you're literally after proving the... You're replicating the results of that study. So thank you, University of Wisconsin.
Fuck, did they know?
Fuck, did they know about it?
Wisconsin. Go out of that, Wisconsin.
Sleeping with your friend, right? Social network Meet Me polled 6,500 of its users and found that more than half of people said they had fantasized about sleeping with their best friend of the opposite gender.
Shit.
What's more, nearly 40%, which is obviously 4 out of 10, report...
Oh, quick maths.
reported actually having slept with their best friend, while 2/3 admitted they would if the opportunity presented itself. So, are people paranoid? Are people right to be paranoid with the whole men and women being friends? Because here, from a study of 6,500 people, 40% slept with their best friend.
Of the opposite sex.
Of the opposite sex.
Yeah, that can't be ignored.
That cannot be ignored. While 2/3 admitted they would if they got the chance.
Can I slightly put a spanner in the works here? What if it was the same sex? Would that worry you?
It must be difficult. Like, say, if you're a gay man and you have a boyfriend and all of his friends are men as well. That must be tough for gay men. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
If all of his friends are other gay men.
But even just like if you have your girlfriend and your girlfriend's hanging out with her girlfriends and there was... something going on there, would you be looking at this completely differently?
I think I'd know if my girlfriend was gay.
But you know, this could be a bit of experimentation.
Do you know what? Class. Do you know what she says? Oh, I like my friend.
I like
bring her
friend.
Over there. We'll watch Love Island. I think she's grand as well.
You know what I mean? Love Triangle.
I hadn't really thought of it now, Lauren, like that. But you have thrown an absolute spanner in the works. But if anything, this poll of 6,500 people has heightened my paranoia. 40% of people of the opposite sex who are friends have slept together. That is enough. This should be case closed.
Yeah, because it also says that feeling attracted to a cross-sex friend was associated with lower levels of satisfaction in one's romantic relationship, particularly amongst middle-aged adults who were likely to be married. So if you're not happy in your own relationship, you start to fancy your opposite sex friend more.
That happens.
No.
That's how a fair start.
No.
No.
Okay, Johnny, for one thing I would ask you is, we have got a couple of messages in over the years of mostly teenage guys have a female friend. Mm. I think there's something there. Should I go for it? I normally tell them to try and inch forward. You know, yeah, you're having the crack or having the bands with her, but does it? You got to get out of the friend zone. Is there a little bit of cut there? Mm. You know, and eventually I tell them, yeah, go on, go for it.
Yeah, don't know, to help people out there, I would say if you are friends with the opposite sex and you like them, just tell them. What's the worst that can happen? They reject you. Grand, you move on.
Mm.
And if you really were friends, then it wouldn't overtly affect the friendship. You'd be able to, you should be able to talk about it and be comfortable talking about it.
You can't die wondering, lads. No. What if I made that move? Like, you know, if you're like, it's the classic, you know, pure Notting Hill job, like, or, you know, one of these romantic, British romantic films where she's walking down the aisle and, you know, her male best friend is going, oh, that could have been me.
Except I'm a sap.
I never said it. So just like, probably bring her out. I would say, you know, say to her, oh, do you want to meet up for a drink? Go for a little drink. And then after a couple of drinks, be like, I fancy the pants off you. And then like the next day, she's like, oh, do you remember what you said last night? You're like, no. Always have a backup plan. But say it. Like, you can't. You can't go on like that not saying it.
Lauren?
I think it should be said. Yeah. What's there to lose? Life is too short.
Lauren's phone is lighting up there at the moment. A lot of DMs. Okay, so can men and women be friends? Yes or no?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes reluctantly because of peer pressure.
Obviously, statistically, there's an issue with it.
Yeah.
Only one third of this study said that they wouldn't shag them.
Yeah. So lads and ladies out there, be wary of the friend. All right. It's that time of the week where everyone's favorite hurley breaking, tart eating, retired hurler is in the house. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
How long for that?
Well, Noel, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good to have you back in this week.
Yeah, that first topic you heard is some dirt.
Do you reckon?
You reckon that when I go down to the daycare centre doing a few jobs, that all those women don't fancy me? You're suggesting that they don't all want lint of weapon pipe.
Oh, Jesus. Do you reckon they do?
I'm be sure of it.
Have you ever, been with anyone from the daycare centre?
No, I have a full-time job laying pipe at home.
Oh, my God.
But like, they'd give me the extra cut of tart now.
Would they?
Oh, and a wink and a smile. They all have a smile for Noel, right?
Sure, Noel, right?
No, like, by day, I guess well looked after. But I'll tell you this now. Do you know Vincent van Gogh?
I've heard of him, yeah.
The painter?
Yeah.
Now, apparently, that's where our local painter, Arthur Burke, done his apprenticeship. No. I seen him one day, and he was painting the door of the Chinese Takeaway. And he had an old sheet in the ground, keeping the old street clean. And I said, that's very good. And he said to me, van Gogh taught me that. Now, I don't know how good a painter this Van Gogh character was, because apparently he was skint, stone broke. You know, this is what they say about him. But like, any painter I know is flat out.
Mm.
Any painter worth his salt. I did a summer with McGee years ago, painting.
Did you?
Fuck, I made some twine by.
Yeah.
Some man for cash by. The whole door, Jesus. And like, I'd get a whole house done now with one tin of paint. Because as your bit goes out of it, you can add a bit of water. And you can start and top it up. And the more it goes down, the more water you add. Okay. So the house will be red at the front and pink at the back. And I tell him 'tis the new style.
Okay.
And I charge him an extra 50 bob. So it's a win-win, you know what I mean? On the old knack. So Van Gogh, anyway, he was actually no relation to the horsey crowd. Do you know the big white letters going into Kildare? Goths.
Yeah.
How do you say it? It's like the mart for horses.
Yeah, yeah.
But less chance of fighting your neighbour, like. Okay? So he's no relation to them, apparently. This Vincent Van Gogh fella, right? Now, he was a great man when he was dead. Right? And he's still dead. But he don't fuck all when he was alive. Okay? Since he died, his paintings have become wicked valuable. Big money. And he is considered, wait till you hear this, the master of post-impressionist painting. Is that like doing the signs over the hairdressers? And
I don't think so.
Fancy kind of stuff. Fair play to him anyway. He moved down to France. He was looking for a start. He was looking for a bit of work. But the French obviously are a shower of bastards, so it didn't really work out for him. He got very little work. And sadly, the famous, very talented Vincent van Gogh shot himself in 1890. A great loss to the world, right? He went out into a field and he shot himself in the chest with a handgun.
Jesus.
But it was only a small gun and it took him 3 days to die.
Jesus.
Fucking Egypt. Now my heart goes out to the man because he was, you know what I mean? He was a troubled soul.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time he cut off a bit of his own ear?
I heard about that.
You heard about this? Did you hear about this? Yeah. He was having a row with another painter and it must have been over the price of a job or something, I don't know. And he cut off a bit of his own ear and he delivered it to a brothel that him and your man used to regularly go to.
Jesus.
They would frequent. And he was found the next day by police, totally unconscious. Now that's a fucking session. That man knew how to drink. You're only baby infants compared to that man. Did you ever go on a night out, cut your own ear off and deliver to a brat?
No, thank God.
If I could make one critique about Van Gogh, I would say, if I was having a row with a fella, I'd probably prefer to cut his ear off.
That's true, yeah.
Although, if you're going to fight a lad and he cuts off his ear and sends it to you, you know you're in for a fucking scrap, I'll tell you that. You know you're in for a fucking duke, and I'll tell you that, boy. Now, the reason I bring up Van Gogh, after I got a small bit sidetracked there, sorry, but it's because that gun that he shot himself with went up this week for public auction. And it was found 70 years after he pulled the trigger. It was found in a field beside the cottage he was staying in. And it's about the right size and the right age and has been fired and all that. So they can't be 100% sure that it's the exact one, but they reckon it is. And it's sold. How much?
100,000.
162,500.
Wow.
Cash. For a gun that doesn't even work. It's rusted away to fuck out in the field.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, like that gun didn't even work when he wanted it to work. It's fucked now. So it was bought by a private collector over the phone. 162 grand for the gun that shot Van Gogh. Some money, isn't it?
Some status, some twine, yeah.
I have the Hurley that broke Joe Keaton's jaw. Not for parting, no. No, it's above the mantelpiece at home.
If you got 162,000.
Oh, you can have it. Now, another little story I want to tell you about. You know a farmer loves nothing more than an old scheme. An old grant.
Yes.
Farmer loves the old grant. If there was a grant going for fucking reptiles, we'd have dragons. Fucking Irish lads would be on it, lad. Fucking a few reptiles around this town.
There is, yeah.
Fucking drinking outside Pat Peters' there. Our fucking EU money going around the town. Fucking reptiles, lad. So in New Zealand, they have a scheme to get lads to hand in their guns, right? Because do you remember in March, a fella went into a mosque and he fucking shooting people, crazy stuff, right?
Yep.
Awful stuff. Like he had a machine gun. What the fuck do you want a machine gun for? Yeah. There's no need for it at all. You want to bait a fella if you want to bait him, like. So they've banned machine guns totally, in proper order. And they asked lads, hand in your machine guns. And 700 people did. And then the New Zealand government just made sheep noises because I think that's all they fucking do out there. Them fuckers, head to toe sheep, lad them. So the government now have a new scheme. They will buy your machine gun back off you for most of what you paid for it. Not a bad deal. And after hearing this, 5,000 lads came out of the woodwork going, actually, I have a machine gun home under the bed.
Oh, my God.
And they'll sell it to you. So the first 700 lads who handed them in for nothing was a fair fucking sick. But my question is, what were 6,000 lads in New Zealand doing with fucking machine guns?
It's crazy.
So what are they doing with them? Fighting, you know? I don't know. Every lad must have a fucking machine gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's scary.
But just bad news. You can't be letting... Like, what if you get into a row? You come and get a machine gun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, families get into rows. You know? I remember when I first started dating Carmen, I'll tell you, her family were very against it. They were very against it. You see,
why?
Well, because I was from a poor family.
Okay.
When we were growing up, we had nothing. We had nothing. Do you know what I got? Do you know my 9th birthday? Do you know what my father gave me? A hiding. For not putting enough whiskey in his tea. You've heard of an Irish coffee. Well, that's Tipperary tea.
Tipperary tea.
Father put whiskey in his tea every morning because he hated the neighbours that much. He couldn't bear to look at the neighbours. So he used to get fucking stung every morning. He used to get stunned every morning at breakfast. And he'd be fucking cut going out to drive. He was a man's man, mate. So her family, Carmen's family, I tell you now, were very against me dating her. Because of that. Her father was against it. Her husband was against it. Her 3 children were. Her 3 children were against it.
Took a while there to click with me.
The whole lot of them were against me dating Cameron. You know what I mean? The priest was against it. But as they say, love will find a way.
Yeah.
So now we're happily married. And just in 2016, the New Zealand police estimated. You alright?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Fucking snot running on my nose. I'm laughing.
Fucking dose of the myxomatosis again. The police in New Zealand said there are 1.2 million legal firearms knocking around New Zealand. Fucking 1.2 million guns. Whoa. That they know about. So, like, that's 1 in every 4 people in New Zealand have a gun. They're not all shooting rabbits, like.
No, no, no.
You know what I mean? So mind yourselves. But just that scheme, I thought it was nicely done.
Nicely done.
I thought it was nicely done.
It's a man
law. And now, just locally, we have a bit of a notice board. A couple of things I wanted to tell you about.
Lovely.
Pat Farrell is selling a ticket for Bob Dylan concert. And he can't go.
Okay. Why?
Because he hates Bob Dylan. It's on in Nolan Park. And he mixed up Bob Dylan. He thought it was the Joe McDonough Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Easy mistake.
Easy mistake, yeah.
But I think Bob Dylan and Neil Young could be starting in a 2-man forward line for Offaly. The way things are going next year. Jez, Offaly are gone bad.
They're gone bad, Noel, yeah.
Isn't it sad to see?
Not really, no.
I know, I'd love to see Offaly come back some year and win All-Ireland now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some year we're not in it. Some year we don't enter, they can win it. Also locally, Tracy's Fruit and Veg Shop is having a summer sale. Real oranges all the way from Lismore. There's a fella in Lismore, County Waterford, growing oranges. That's a fact. Now, I don't know what kind of drugs he's pumping into them. Because the neighbours can barely grow fucking weeds down there. He's going around town like the man from Del Monte, right? But anyway, the quote here, it says, real fresh, healthy oranges on sale now. And they also have grapes. And just, I remember the first time I saw a grape. I'll never forget it. Cool. That's a fact. My auntie sent us back grapes in the post. She was on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, out near Croatia. And she came across a bunch of grapes. And she said they were God's little miracle. And she put a bunch of grapes in an envelope. And she posted them back to us. Now, by the time the grapes got to Kilbride, they were pure poison. But the mother said we had to eat them, or God would be offended. And I said, God don't pay the bill down here, woman. And since that day, I swore on my dead grandfather's grave that I'd never ate another grape. Fact.
Wow.
Now, I'd ate them in a fruit salad. Or not spoil thing, something like that, you know. But just saying to watch out for grapes, you know. So that is Tracy's Fruit Store. Also, got a call. Wanted, German Shepherd pup. Well, he says he wants kind of a half pup, half dog. He doesn't want to have to train the fucker. Only finished training the wife.
Oh.
And he needs a good old guard dog. See, I actually am looking for a dog myself too, because I had to get rid of the old Labrador I had. No, I still have Nick English, the Cocker Spaniel. But I had to get rid of the Labrador.
Why?
He was racist.
What? What do you mean racist?
Dog was racist. He would only bark when the foreign lads walked past the driveway. I swear to God, any black man that walked past our gate, the dog used to go stone mad. I had to get rid of him. And Joe Murphy, the coal man, came up one day covered in soot. The dog didn't know what to do. The dog did not know what to do. The dog didn't know whether to hate him or not. He said he just fucking ate the shins off Joe just to be sure. I had to get rid of the dog. Fucking racist dog knocking on Kilbrine there. So, new dog needed in the Kilbrine area. Also, Mick Hogan is giving guitar lessons from the back of his house on the Clonmel Road. Beginners to advanced. And I'm just going to stop it right there, because if Mick Hogan is a guitar teacher, I'm a Dutchman. I'd sooner swallow a guitar than listen to that fucking grass-eating bastard playing the fucking thing. It wouldn't know good music, that man.
What do you know?
No, it's all boom, boom. I'd be more into the bang, bang.
Oh, oi, oi.
So to summarise, fuck Mick Hogan. If you'd like to advertise on the notice board, write your advert on the back of a 50 euro note and send it to Noel News, Tipperary Road, in care. Thank you.
Good man, Noel. Thank you.
That has been this week's Norris Board.
Thanks a million, Noel. See you next week.
God willing.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies Podcast, and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number two Johnnies Pod to have your say. And you can get in touch on Instagram at the Two Johnnies and check out thetwojohnnies.ie. You'll get all our social media from there. She's 5'10" or 11 inches tall, but it's easy climb a fallen tree. Tipping chestnuts, of course. Lauren, what's the story? What's your mystery topic this week?
All right.
Do you like that one, yeah?
No.
Yeah?
Okay. Numbers have hit rock bottom of the amount of men joining the priesthood.
Oh, jeez.
So I want to know what changes need to happen to get those numbers to come back up. What needs to happen for you two to even entertain the idea of it?
God would want to come down from heaven and prove he's real, let's say. What was that? Look, the big one in the room, you have to let priests ride.
Yeah, I did.
I can't see how God is in heaven going, no, you're not allowed to have sex. And the priests are like, oh, sorry, like.
Sure, God himself must have had a horn. You know?
Even God got the horn. Yeah. Everyone get, like.
So that's the number one thing that we changed.
Number one, yeah, definitely, is let them get married and have relationships.
Have a family, yeah.
100%. Jesus, like that's nearly a right at this stage, like, you know.
Isn't it a human right?
Yeah.
So if that was to happen, you two might consider.
Oh,
it.
No, there has to be great money. That's be good money.
Big money.
I'd say they do get fairly well paid, though. I'd say, do they? They all seem to have nice cars, priests.
I suppose you could probably expense a lot. Parish duties.
Yeah.
There isn't much you couldn't cover under parish duties and be tax deductible. Not actually, the church don't pay tax anyway, sure.
There you go.
There is another incentive.
Are wages tax free, I wonder?
Yeah, priests, yeah, the church don't pay tax.
And their wages are like the little box of the collection box, isn't that their wages?
Actually, they make money.
No, they must get good though, I'd say.
No, well, their wages is the envelope that goes around once a year or once a quarter or whatever.
Is it?
That's a priest's wages you collected in that. But sure, the church would have assets all over the place.
They must have some cash then. Priests. Do you know what I mean? Or are they going to the bank to lodge it?
It's a cash business, yeah. Which is all the one, they don't pay tax.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
you're going to rob a priest.
No, I'm just saying, like, somebody listening is probably getting that idea.
I'd imagine they lodge it, yeah. I was an altar boy, and as far as I remember, they lodge it.
Did you used to lodge it?
I used to stroke it.
I used to try
the money is trying to rob the money.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And tell me the working hours. Would they see you Sunday mornings, Saturday nights?
Probably getting all
weekend kind of evening work.
Probably go up on a Wednesday.
Like ourselves, they might go to Dublin on a Wednesday.
Yeah, all the priests up there, by up to Coppers. Should be some crack. It wouldn't be some crack if priests were allowed to marry. Like, no, going to Coppers there, there'd be a couple of lads jumping around, you know, with collars on, bopping around the Spice Girls.
I wonder would they be like the garages flashing their badge? Yeah, get into Les Coppers
him
for
a priest. No bother, right?
Bit of the Holy Communion.
Hey, it'd be some crack though, wouldn't it? you know, in fairness, you know, I'm not a I would say I'm not a regular church goer or anything like that.
I could confirm that.
Yeah, but you know, I think it would encourage more men to. You should probably be allowed women priests as well. That's probably another thing there, just to go in on that there as well. But if they were allowed to marry, like, they'd have a much better standard of life, and I think they would be much more integrated into the actual community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, they used to be like, oh, the priest is calling, clean the house. Mm. Now it's like, the priest is calling, shut the fucking door. I don't want to be caught talking to him, like. You know what I mean? Whereas if they're just normal, you know, a little bit more integrated into the community, I think.
Yeah, I suppose having a family would make you seem more normal and you'd fit in better because your wife would have all of her friends and your kids would be going to school. And
yeah, but you're in a gas. Like, we go down and listen to priests telling us stuff about marriage and different things. What the fuck do they know about? Like,
what you know about it?
Yeah, you know, practice what you preach. Isn't that what they say?
And I think you two especially would enjoy the performance aspect of being the priest. Yeah. Top.
All glory and honour is yours, Almighty Father, forever and... I'd be on the organ then.
Yeah, better music at Mass.
Yeah, better music. You know, local band there, playing Green Day or something. I hope you have the time of your life. Now communion, lads.
Sure, what has to happen... I suppose she needs to jazz up Mass.
Jazz, like, sex up Mass, lad.
Sex it up, yeah.
Yeah.
And what about funerals? I can't imagine either of you two presiding over a funeral.
No, we wouldn't have much tact. You know, we wouldn't be... We wouldn't... No. Jimmy's dead. He was a bollocks anyway.
Weddings, no, but yes.
Weddings be a bit of crack, yeah.
Priests are always like... Pretend they're fucking Hal Roach at a wedding anyway. Like,
yeah.
Brendan Grace type. Hey, how are you doing? What are the bride? Where are you from? You know... Yeah. Priests be always going around like, do you know what I mean? What do you do yourself? I'm a priest myself, you know.
Pointing at the collar.
And you could definitely be the spokesperson then if anything happened in the village. They always talk to the local priest.
Yeah.
Oh, the news and all.
Yeah. I don't know why.
We're hoping to get on TV in our own right anyway.
Yeah.
You don't need to join the priesthood for that.
If not, we just become the next Father Brian Darcy. On the late all the time. Yeah, no, that's what I would change, Lauren.
But sure, Lauren, like, it's not going to happen. Like, I think the church's views and like the views of society are just getting further and further apart.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Big things like there was the, you know, the gay marriage and all, and the church went against it, and then like most of the country went for it. So
game over, you're thinking?
I don't know. Yeah. And see, the church are in a tricky spot.
It's too much of a gap now, I think, between society and the church.
And if they're going to call lads zombies, did you hear that in Kilkenny?
Who did they call zombies?
A parish priest. I don't know if it was a parish priest, but he was definitely a priest anyway in Kilkenny. Basically stood on the altar a couple of weeks ago and said that those that are homosexual and there was another term, basically wanted to change their sex, had an illness, and he likened them to zombies. I'm not messing.
She's not making any friends.
There you go. That's another problem.
He'd probably want to change that one, yeah.
A little bit out of touch with society, I think.
Lauren, what would it take to get more women into the priesthood if they were allowed to be priests?
I think definitely the being able to get married and obviously not neglect your maternal instincts.
Mm.
I think it's unnatural to ask a woman to do that. And even from a nun's point of view, I don't know, it doesn't, you're going against a natural instinct.
You'd change the outfit a bit. Like,
oh, Jesus, yeah.
Women priests, but I would wear maybe a nice pencil skirt or something. You know?
A lady suit. But
casual it up a little bit.
A nice black lady suit with the collar.
I want a priest to be wearing a full O'Neill's tracksuit. Skinny pants and jacket, not
Mr. Stapleton from First League.
Oh yeah, Vinny, yeah.
Does he have a black skinny priest tracksuit?
No, I think it was a tip one.
Oh, you want like a built in collar.
He's probably the coolest priest around. He used to manage me at under 17 with tip. Yeah.
Class.
Yeah. There you go.
Lauren, yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, bring back the priesthood, lads. Make it funky again.
So Smax is actually making me intro this.
Give it a good one, now.
Drum roll, please. It is the Love Island review, week 3.
Unbelievable. Couldn't ask for a better introduction.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Woo, let's do it.
I was very disappointed with Love Island this week.
Really?
A bit fucking, not much happening now. It wasn't as spicy as last week.
Right.
But Irish woman Maura, of course, you know, famous for giving handjobs outside Supermax.
Podcast disclaimer, I've learned from last week.
In Longford. Maura's in there, but did you know if she stays in for another 3 weeks, she's going to miss her own sister's wedding?
What?
Yeah. She's going to miss her own, sister's wedding's taking place in three weeks' time. Do you know, she's probably as well off having Maura in there. At least she won't go off with the husband. But she is, yeah, she's getting married in 3 weeks' time and she's going to miss her own sister's wedding. And I would put my house on Maura still being there in 3 weeks' time.
Do you think so?
Yeah, she'll be there till the end.
She hasn't got a fella.
Yeah, but she'll find one, lad.
I think she's going too hard, the bit I saw now.
Yeah, she's laying it on thick now, in fairness. But I think she will find a fella, and I think people like her. She's controversial.
She's more butter than bread, that one, lad.
They'll keep her in. I reckon she'll miss the wedding, lad.
Is she friends with the sister? Are they still talking, like?
I don't know now. I haven't a contact for either.
Okay, right,
I would assume they're still on talking terms. Molly May and Tommy. Do you see the action? You watched it now, Johnny. You're starting to tune in a bit. Don't give me that you don't really like it. Like,
what about them?
Molly May and Tommy were in bed the other night, and I'd say there was a bit of fondling going on.
Was he riding her?
Because she said, because the episode just ended, and the last words were, "It's fucking huge."
Were they?
Yep. And I'd say she wasn't talking about Tommy's feet. And then last night, which is, we're recording on Friday, so Thursday night's episode, it ended, and the two of them were kind of moving. It was like, now I'm not an expert on body language, but it looked like Tommy was putting it in the calf lap. Do you know what I mean? In the back door. He was kind of lying down like that, and he was, and then.
You like Kildare in the Leinster Championship, a backdoor specialist.
The backdoor lad, yeah. And he was
round robin.
He was rubbing up against her, and he was giving her a bit of round robin. And
I was going to qualifier route.
And the episode just ended with, "Jesus fucking Christ," she said. So, you know, good man Tommy, but it's good to see someone getting a bit jiggy in there.
Well, he is a heavyweight.
They were Igmarky yucked, lad. That's a fact. New boys arrived in this week, Jordan and Tom. Lad, I don't know if you've seen Tom, but he has the best jawline I've ever seen since Willie Ryan from Clonakenny.
Wow.
And I tell you, and Willie has a terrific jawline.
He does, in fairness.
But this lad, now, Tommy gave him a run for his money. And the other new lad is Jordan. He came in now and he has a kind of an afro. He looks like fucking Fido the Dido, lad. The 7-Up man.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like. Noodle head. Big noodle head on him. Fido the Dido. He's in now. He's after pairing up with Anna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, she looks like that fish from the car wash video. Big man, you know, do you know the fish I'm on? Massive lips, big blowfish. That's what Anna looks like.
You're a savage lad.
Joe and Elma left this week. You know, Joe, sandwich maker Joe, was paired up with Lucy.
Okay, yeah.
And no, there was massive complaint, over 300 complaints to Ofcom about his treatment of Lucy.
Mm.
They said he was emotionally, you know,
controlling
her and stuff like that. So I'd say it's no coincidence that Joe has exited the villa and not been allowed to do any TV interviews as well this week. So Joe left. But people are asking, should Lucy stay? Should she have, like, she was saying, "Oh, Joe is the perfect man for me, ticks all me boxes. He's gone out of the villa." Bang. She's still there. So I think Lucy's telling a few lies. I think if she really liked Joe, she'd have left. You know, now in fairness, Joe is probably still hiding in the wardrobe in the villa anyway, so there's probably no need for her to leave. But
lad, free holiday to
Mallorca.
Mallorca.
Yeah, she could have went down Santa Pons and all. You know, then the shit hit the fan last night, lad. New bird in. Arabella is her name.
Right, like the song.
Shh. What song?
Arctic Monkeys.
All right. Fuck, I didn't know. But I tell you, fuck the Arctic Monkeys, lad. This one is some bit of gatto cake, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
She's unbelievable. I watched it with a few friends last night. There was just silence. And then there was a queue for the bathroom. So Arabella is ticking a lot of fellas' boxes, but is she still in a relationship on the outside?
I don't know.
Yes. Seemingly so. Last year's contestant, Charlie Frederick, he was in it. He posted screenshots of a conversation they had a couple of days ago, and she was saying, "Can I see you tonight? I really want to see you." And he was like, "Why? What are you doing?" She was like, "Oh, I'm just at home there. I'm working on something new." Didn't tell him she was going into Love Island. Still, he was still thinking he was in a relationship with her. He's seen her. They were dating. Next thing he knows, his friend texts him. She's on Love Island.
Cold.
So she's after the fame, lad. She's after the Moulin Rouge, the money.
They all are.
Yeah, they all are. But she's taking the biscuit now.
Come, everyone going in there knows the crack.
Yeah, and then
no one is going in there to find love.
Oh yeah, I suppose so. But this, yeah, check out Arabella, lad. You know, I don't know if you've seen that episode, but like, yeah.
Ah, yeah, it's a quick look at her. Yeah,
yeah. Put the boxing gloves on, lad, when you are. Save yourself.
Oven mitts looking at her Instagram, lad, in case they burn the hands off. I'd wear sunglasses looking at her, lad. Burn my eyes out my head.
Anton, big revelation this week. His mother shaves his arse for him. I kid you not.
You're going to have to repeat that.
Anton, right, so they said, how did you get into the modelling? And he said he was in the gym one day and this fella came over to him and says, you have a great body. I have a gig on tonight looking for a naked butler. And Anton said, oh, grand, I'll do it. So, and then he went home and his mother was like, you're too hairy. They don't have any hair. And so his mother helped him shave his arse.
And I guess once you start.
Yeah, once you start, that's what he said. Once you start, you have to keep doing it. So his mother was shaving his arse. Now, my mother used to cut my toenails until I was 16. So I feel Anton's pain, but shaving the arse is a bit fucking much. Toenails are hard to cut, lad. Toenails are hard to cut.
They're not that hard.
They are, lad. Yours are all straight and all over the place. Mine are. Now, my mother don't cut them anymore. But, you know, I've learned a knack over 16 years to right. learn how to do it. And just... that's it really, because not much has happened, but Yoanda's driving me mental. She pissed me off a bit.
I'm going to say her Irishness is actually holding her back.
Yeah.
In that she was been playing her cards too close to her chest, and there's a fella in there who gave her a bit of a coming on, and she's not doing anything about it. And I was screaming at the telly saying...
She's sitting there with a head like a smacked arse, yeah, staring like, how did your day go? Your man should have come out and said... Fucking unreal. She's a lasher. I'm getting rid of you.
I'm drop kicking you yeah. to fucking Santa Ponza.
Pack your bags and get on the next Ryanair flight back to Terminal 1. That's yeah. what I would have been saying to her now. So Yoanda is letting us down, lads, a bit. Mara keeping us entertained. That's the Irish take on it. And next week should be spicy.
Oh.
I'm expecting fireworks.
Thanks yep. very much for that, John.
What about her, John? And finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time, where we give our highlights and lowlights of the week. Johnny, do you want to kick us off?
My Yurt of the week, lad. I took an ocean one day this week. And I blocked about 100 people on Snapchat. I blocked about 100. They're mostly probably young lads sending me streaks and all that. And I've actually, without them, been getting great correspondence on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people listening are probably like, oh, it's all about Instagram. But there's loads of country lads and lots of people over 25, a lot of people in their 30s who started on Snapchat and then kind of aren't bothering with Instagram. They're yeah. still using Snapchat, getting great correspondence. My favourite correspondence on Snapchat this week was, so there's GIFs out now. You know, little, little 3 second moving things. So the GIF of Tipperary hurling is a lad coming up and down celebrating, and I put out the call, who is it? And it is, of course, former Tipperary under 20 hurler, David Leeson from Ballinahinch.
Okay. That's random.
Is now... hurling in San Francisco, because he sent me a Snapchat yesterday
of him
in the high vis vest with Jamie Burke who Jamie Burke plays in goal for Tip San Fran. Jesus and Christ. There they were out in the building site, and I was like, is that you? And he's like, yeah, but the high vis vest looks better. So
fucking hell,
Snapchat giving me some entertainment for once, even though we mostly do Instagram now.
Yeah.
Yourself, John?
My dirt of the week, I'll start with that. My mother bought me an air freshener for the house.
It's a good start.
She called in last week, and I don't know why. She must have been a fucking schmell or something. But she got me one of these battery operated ones that goes off every like so often.
Right.
And like, I wasn't around the house much. We were doing bits during the week, and I wasn't really around, and I didn't notice it. The other night then, I was in bed, next thing all I heard was thought there's a fucking leopard in this house now, or some sort of a jungle cat is in this gaff. And I thought, I just ignored. 15 minutes later, this thing again. I was going around the house, lad. I swear to God, I got the Marty Moan light out. I was afraid to turn on the light in case of that. And, you know, I'd catch something in the dark here. Give it a junt. Turned out it was the air freshener.
Where was it plugged in?
It's you see, it doesn't have to be plugged in.
Wow.
It's like up on the bathroom door ledge.
Okay.
And it sprays every 15 minutes. And I didn't know there was a switch to turn it off, so I took it out and hopped it off the ground outside. And now it's broke, thank God. But yeah, frightened the shit out of me, lad. I honestly thought like there was some sort of fucking snake or something, python under me bed.
Right,
says you, it was in the bed.
Quick one, my dirt is the weather, lad. This summer, I want to kick off now.
Yeah,
sick of it.
Shit, I'm absolutely sick of it.
A few of the farmers getting caught with the silage and all. Tough going.
Bad buzz for the farmers.
Bad buzz, yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm going to finish with my yurt of the week that blew me mind. And it was, you know that Michael Jackson song?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I always thought it was, Mama say, Mama say, Mama say. I just thought it was Mumbo Jumbo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out, He's actually saying, I'm going to say it one more time, I'm not going to stop.
I'm going to say it one more time, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah. That, oh, I'm fucking mind blown at.
Yeah.
How many other songs, like, have I been singing the wrong lyrics to over the years?
Oh, a lot of them. That's even sampled in a Rihanna song.
All right. That, please don't stop the music.
Yeah. I'm going to say it one more time, I'm not going
to
stop.
Yeah. Fucking mind blowing, lad. So that's my year to the week. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From Michael Jackson. And from me, Johnny B.
And from me, Lauren.
See you next week. Good luck.
Good luck.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.